Welcome to the Michael Arts Show on Be Terrific. I am Kevin Foley, your host for today, this Wednesday in New Jersey. Thank you, guys. You can check us out on all social media at Be Terrific TV, and you can find archives of the Michael Arts Show and other Be Terrific programming on BeTerrific.com. And join us on the Slack chat, too, as well. To join, contact at connect at BeTerrific.com. And we'll get you guys in there. We can start chatting. Hey, Terrifics, how are you guys doing? I feel like I haven't talked to you guys in a while. Janny, J-Bird, Digital Phil, and many more of the Terrifics. Just want to shout you guys out. Thank you again for your continual support. Continue to watch the show. Continue to support us the way you have. You know, we work hard. We do this for you guys. But nonetheless, guys, let's get into it, man. Few things to talk about today. I would say it's not going to be Beyonce and her twins. We're not talking about that one. That's enough. I mean, my goodness. It's crazy how excited people get for someone else having a baby. I mean, don't get me wrong. Congratulations to Beyonce and Jay-Z. You know, it's always great to have new additions to the family. But, I mean, I'm just stunned sometimes. It always shocks me. It's always funny to me how excited people get just to hear someone else is having a baby. You would think they were having a baby. You would think it's their sister or somebody that they're related to that they know personally. But they don't. People don't get this excited for their own family members having babies like the way they're getting excited for Beyonce having babies. But nonetheless, though, congratulations to her and her family and new additions that they're going to be welcoming into their family. But that's not going to be the talk of today on Be Terrific. What we are going to talk about, we're going to talk about sports, and we're going to talk about what's going on with Facebook. Facebook's empire is expanding. Going to pull up the blurb of what I read about Facebook recently today. Facebook is creating an app for television set top boxes, including Apple Inc.'s Apple TV. The Wall Street Journal reported, citing people familiar with the matter, that the world's biggest online social network is also in discussions with media companies to license long-form TV quality programming as well. I mean, Facebook is just continuing to expand. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg is a genius, man, for a lot of reasons, and I just respect his business acumen, how he built this social media network, and he didn't just stop there. He continued to expand and to add and just learn about the market and what they wanted and provided for him. It's going to be around for a long time. Other social media sites came and went since the existence of Facebook. With them, they continued to stick around. They continued to add. They didn't stay stagnant. And it's showing that that it works, obviously. It's showing that the guy knows what he's doing. It shows that he has a vision for the future. It shows that he's not one to rest on past successes, and that he's always looking to expand, and I respect that. I think what happens a lot of the times is people are successful, and they kind of rest on that success and forget that, you know, there's always somebody out there that's looking to kind of take what you have, in a sense, or to kind of build upon what you've set, in a sense. So you can't rest on what you've done in the past. You have to continue to expand. And that's shown with Facebook as they continue to build this empire. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else they have to provide and what else they have to offer. I'm sure more things are on the horizon with them. But that was interesting to hear. I want to learn more about it in regards to what they have to offer and everything else that's going on with them. But Facebook is awesome. We're getting closer and closer, of course, to the Super Bowl. Adam just filled me in on the story that a Saudi prince here in the U.S. flew in a ridiculous amount of Falcons for the Super Bowl event. I have to read up on it and find out exactly what he's going to do with those Falcons. Are they going to be at the Super Bowl? He's going to let them loose in the event of a Falcons win. We'll see. But nonetheless, though, I'm interested to find out what he's planning to do with those Falcons. And hopefully he does get a chance to let them loose, because I really want the Falcons to win, man. I really, really do. I cannot stand having to watch Tom Brady and Bill Belichick stand on that platform and accept another trophy for a championship win. I mean, enough is enough for these guys. As you guys know, I am a Patriots. If you want to call me a hater, call me a hater. But I have every right to. I'm a Colts fan. I've been defeated by this team. I've watched this team defeat my team long enough, year after year. and raise that trophy. And kudos to them. Can't take away from their championships and their success. But I'm not happy to see it. I don't want to continue to see them win. I'm hoping that the Falcons can pull this one out because, I mean, one, they're a very talented team, and I like the players that they have. And they're playing against the Patriots, like I said before. And that's all the incentive. That's everything I need to kind of want a Falcons win. And they do have probably the best position player in football outside of the quarterback position in Julio Jones. Julio Jones is ridiculously talented, ridiculously dominant. I mean, the guy is an absolute beast. One of the fears that I have for Julio Jones going into the Super Bowl is that Bill Belichick always finds a way to take out the best player. He did it with, I think, Antonio Brown in the previous game with the Patriots and the Steelers. And he's done it, I think, with the number one receiver since about 2012 or some ridiculous number like that, where those types of players never beat the Patriots. But I'm hoping Julio can break that. If Julio can somehow demolish the Patriots, I mean, what more can you say about this guy? To have a Super Bowl win and to kind of demolish a team that doesn't allow top receivers to do it would just add to the legacy and just build on his legend for a guy who, at the end of it, definitely is going to be one of the all-time great receivers, but possibly could be number one. I mean, it's that possible, I would say, because we haven't had much receivers and much players at that position that has the combination of speed, strength, and size that he has. The guy's a playmaker. He'll turn 5 yards to 70. He can go up top and catch it there. He's strong. He can run routes. He can play in the slot. He can play in the outside. He can do it all. I mean, he's an absolute beast of a receiver, and I really want to see him exceed. And his temperament as well is different from other receivers that we're accustomed to. He's not the diva receiver that we're accustomed to. He's not, and I like Odell, but he's not Odell. He's not vociferous, and he's not emotional and in front of the TV cameras. And there's nothing wrong with that. No knock to guys who do that. I mean, to each their own. You have to be who you are. But, you know, to be humble and to be, you know, kind of like to himself and just kind of go out there and just perform week after week, it's kind of a little bit different from the norm that we get with star players nowadays. So I like the fact that we have different examples of how you can be and how you can be successful, that you don't have to be one way. You don't have to be, you know, the guy that's rah-rah in front of the TV cameras. You can be quiet into yourself and be a star receiver and produce on a week-to-week basis like the way this guy has. And I think he's a great example of that. So with that said, I'm definitely rooting for Julio. He's been one of my favorite receivers in the league for some time now. I actually have him. Right now, I think he's the best receiver in football. Going into the season, I had him at number two for me personally. I had Odell number one. But Odell disappointed me this year a little bit. The hands didn't quite live up to the rep that it has. He dropped a few balls this year that I wasn't happy to see him drop. He wasn't as dominant as I was hoping. I didn't see the growth and the progression in his third season that I thought that I would see. And it's not his fault, you know. I think the media creates stories sometimes where there isn't. But he didn't help matters with some of the things that he did this year in attracting the media to allow him to make these stories. You know, it wasn't all them. I mean, it wasn't all him. I think some of these things were non-issues and things that could easily have been ignored. But when you know the media is on your tail, I can understand why you don't want to adjust and change your behavior to kind of like, it's almost as if like you're conceding to them and conceding to the pressure that they're putting on you. And I totally understand why you don't want to do that. But for the sake of the team, sometimes you have to take a step back and just kind of like be aware that all eyes are on you. And I don't think he really did that, did a good job of acknowledging that and making the adjustments that were necessary this season. And in doing so, it became more of a distraction than it needed to be. And all in all, what the bottom line really is that his performance on the field just didn't produce at a high enough rate. He didn't produce on a consistent enough level and a high enough level to kind of like warrant everything that came with it. You know, a lot of guys have dropped him out of the top three receivers altogether. He's barely top five in the eyes of a few people that I know that I talk to about football on a regular basis. And that's unfortunate. But I'm not going to lose sight of what he's done in his career leading up to this season. It's easy to just kind of like have a recency bias where you only remember his last game or what happened this season. But the guy's a phenomenal talent in himself. But right now, if I had to name the top five receivers in the NFL, the top five receivers in football going into next season, I would have to say Julio Jones is the top of the list. I would go with Antonio Brown number two. I would have Odell Beckham still number three. I still think he's a standout talent in that regard. A close number four is AJ Green for the Bengals. I think he's underrated, very much underrated in his ability. He's a great, great, great receiver and has been for some time since he's been in the league. Came in the same year as Julio Jones, and he's been a monster. After that, what, number the fifth receiver is kind of up for grabs. I'm not really too sure who I can pencil in there. You know, some people may say Dez Bryant. I'm not sure. I haven't been the biggest Dez fan, although I do respect his talent and his ability. I'm not sure if I can just, you know, pencil him in there and say that he's definitely number five. But, you know, if someone has him in there, it's definitely it's arguable. Allen Robinson was a guy who had a real big season last year that a lot of people thought that he would even step it up even more. He kind of scaled back. I'm not sure if it was his fault or it was more so Blake Bortles just not having the kind of season that was expected of him. He had a bad season, so that can be part of it as well. Other candidates include T.Y. Hilton. Although I wouldn't say T.Y. Hilton. I wouldn't put him number five. I'm a Colts guy. I like T.Y., but I don't know. Top five seems a bit much. Outside of that, who else am I missing, guys? Jordy Nelson? Do you think Jordy Nelson is a top five receiver? Mike Evans. Mike Evans had a huge year. I know me and Adam definitely appreciate Mike Evans for the help that he gave us on our fantasy football teams. He had a great season altogether. I would think he's a candidate for top five. I think that fifth spot is open, but the top four is pretty solidified with it being Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, and AJ Green, at least in my opinion. And a few guys have some candidates or some guys that you think I'm not mentioning, or people that may be ranked even higher than the guys that I just mentioned. Give us a holler. Talk to us on social media at BeTerrificTV, or join us on a Slack chat. Connect at BeTerrific.com and send your request, and we'll get you in there. You can let me know who you think should be on that list. And the Terrifics, of course, you guys you are more than welcome to join in this conversation. Let us know who you think maybe the fifth receiver should be. But nonetheless, guys, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, you know, and then we'll go ahead and jump back into things. Talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl and the matchup. We're getting closer and closer to Sunday, the biggest Sunday of the year. The biggest Sunday, it's America's holiday, probably the biggest holiday. I mean, it might as well be. I always felt like the day after the Super Bowl, we shouldn't even have to go to work. I mean, everybody's so pumped for the game. Everybody's looking forward to it, you know. And even non-football fans are going to be watching that game. If not for the actual game, for the commercials, for the halftime performance, I mean, it's nothing like it. But nonetheless, guys, let's go ahead and take that break, and we'll be back on Be Terrific, the Mike Walsh's show, right after this. Stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back to the Michael Arthur Show on Be Terrific. Find us on all social media at Be Terrific TV. And you can follow us, you can find archives of the Michael Arthur Show and other Be Terrific programming on BeTerrific.com. And to join us on the Slack chat, send your request to connect at BeTerrific.com and we'll get you in there. You can join us and all the other Terrifics in our daily conversations and talks and about what's going on in the world, what's the latest thing going on in tech, and about the Michael Arthur Show and maybe what you would like to see talked about and covered here. But I'm going to continue on with the show today. Something that jumped out to me today, I saw an article, I believe it was in Forbes, about the Alabama football team. These amateur athletes, as they like to call them, earned over $100 million. Over $100 million for the university this season. That's astronomical. I mean, for these guys to make this amount of money and to be earning this type of money for these universities and not to get a slice of the pie at all, to me, is criminal. They can continue to call it amateur sports if they like and continue to make it about the education that these guys are supposedly receiving and the scholarships and how it's a privilege. And all the other, I'm not going to say it. All the other manure that they like to cover it with. But it's criminal. It's not right. A lot of these guys are going there with the intention to become professional football players. They're not going there to become bankers. They're not going there to become salesmen. They're not going there to become scientists. They're going there to become football players, and that's why they're going there. They are earning millions upon millions of dollars for these universities in a sport that is detrimental to their long-term health and to their longevity, and they get nothing for it, and it's absolutely wrong. Same thing with the NCAA, same thing with basketball and these other sports. I understand that, you know, the whole cause of being fair to all the students that go there, but all the students who go there aren't earning that type of money. All the students that go there aren't having national signing days that are on ESPN and having their name plastered on all these sites as the number one recruits. All these athletes aren't celebrities and known by the age of 16 because of their ability to produce on the field. That's the case with football. That's the case with basketball. And we need to treat it accordingly. The NCAA has been getting away with this for far too long. And me personally, I can't wait for the day that comes when we have a revolutionary athlete or a team like similar to this Northwestern team that makes a stand and says enough is enough. We're no longer going to break our backs playing this sport for you to earn money, and then at the same time, us taking a sandwich from someone is deemed a violation, where we have to go to sleep or still be concerned about what's going on back home with our families or what I'm even going to eat the next night. I mean, I heard Arian Foster talk about some of the things that he went through in Tennessee about, you know, going into the stadium and seeing people wearing their jerseys and seeing the stadiums filled with all of these fans and boosters and all the money that was being earned and seeing the coaches get these bonuses. And then that same night, they're eating ramen noodles and bread and worrying about what they're going to eat the next day, not having a dollar to their name. Are you telling me this is right? This is justified? This is called for? For a degree that they're not going to use? I mean, if it's about the degree, shouldn't they have the option? Because you're still going to take them there. I'm sure Alabama isn't turning away that number one recruit that signed up with them today. The running back, I believe his name is Najee Harris. Don't quote me on that. I would have to look it up to confirm. But I'm sure they're not turning down these recruits. And I'm sure these other schools aren't turning down these top recruits either. I mean, how long are we going to continue to like just go with this false narrative of them being provided an education? What else is there what other thing can you compare it to in America where you have a talent and ability to do something that is worth millions of dollars, but you're not able to earn on that? I mean, please, I would love to hear it. What else is there? These guys have been blessed with the talent, something that allows them to earn for their family, to bring them out of the poverty that a lot of them come from. And they're not able to capitalize on that due to a corrupt system that earns on their blood, sweat, and tears. It's something fundamentally wrong with that, and it has to change. It's 2017. It's been going on long enough. We're all aware of the money that's being made. How long can we continue to play stupid to it? You know, a lot of criticism was thrown at players this season for deciding to sit out some of these bowl games to prepare themselves for the upcoming NFL draft. They were called selfish. They were told that they would care too much about the name on the back of the jersey instead of the name on the front of the jersey. Well, what's wrong with that? Because the name on the front of the jersey sure doesn't care about them. They don't care about their concussions and the health concerns that they have to face later on in life. If those guys don't make it to the NFL, you know, those the knee tears and the concussions and all of that, those are still things they have to live with. What's the universities doing to help them with that? You're always selfish when you look for your own self-interest. But when the NCAA and these universities look out for their own self-interest, it's okay. I mean, I'm not the only one that sees the hypocrisy in this. I know more and more people are aware of this kind of stuff, but I feel like it needs to be spoken on even more. It needs to be hammered home to the point that a change is made. And what I really wish is that a lot of the athletes that go pro, like, take a look back to when they were in that position and go back and do something about this. Let's start a fund to kind of, like, help these players. Let's start a league, an amateur league, where they have the option of either going to college or playing in the amateur league before going to the pros. Something has to be done. We have to force the NCAA's hands to stop robbing these kids and stop using them to make money off. Because that's the bottom line. They do not care about their education or their well-being. The only thing they care about is that money. I believe Bob Huggins, in a game, I think it was an NCAA game. It was something about a number. It was a quota that he had to meet. And if he met that quota, he received a bonus for some substantial amount of money. That's great for him. I'm sure he pushed those players real hard in practice leading up to that game. I'm sure he did everything to make sure that they won for the benefit of the team and not for that quota, not for that money, not for that bonus that he was going to get. And by the way, if these same coaches get an opportunity to coach elsewhere for either just better living situation or even more money, most of the time, they're taking it in a heartbeat. But guess what happens if a player decides he wants to transfer to another university to be closer to his family? He has to sit out a year. He has to go through this entire process that the NCAA has put forth to actually discourage players from moving on, to kind of lock you into that university. And at the same time, coaches can say they can have a list of schools that they feel as though you shouldn't be able to attend. They can disqualify you from attending any other school in that conference or any other school that they deem maybe a threat to them or their university that they don't want you to go. The power is overwhelmingly on one side here. When the people that are providing the talent, that are out there producing the product, have none. It's not fair. And with all this money that's being made from these athletes, somebody has to be smart enough, both business-wise and even just as a person, as somebody who's been in that position, to kind of do something about this. I mean, they can't all pool their money together to build a league. Business opportunity for them and an opportunity for these guys to get better acquainted with what it is to be a pro, how to handle finances, and at the same time be paid at least a minimum amount, something, some kind of living wage that they can provide for their families. Because the NCAA and these college programs aren't providing that. I mean, I think it's been proven that most of the times athletes go on to these pro leagues with no idea on how to handle finances, with zero financial literacy, or little to none, I should say. And they end up blowing most of the fortunes that they earn. The least that these universities could do is teach them how to manage their money. They don't even do that. So how about setting up a league where you teach these boys how to be men, teach them how to handle finance, how to be a professional, the kind of work that's necessary to not only make the league, but to remain in the league and to sustain a long-lasting career. I mean, if I had the opportunity, if I had the money that was necessary, that's something I would be doing right now. I would be talking to different people, different venture capitalists, and building this league and giving these guys an opportunity to earn money and to learn the lessons that they need to learn to have a sustained career. Not only in football, but as men. I think it's a big need, and it needs to be filled. But I guess we're just going to continue to watch as this false narrative of the education that these universities are providing are sufficient enough. And this is not to slam education. I think education is important. Knowledge is power. It's not just a saying. I truly believe that. But when you have a talent, $1 million talent, you should be able to capitalize on that. And then education is something that you can always go back to or fall back on if you decide that you want to. But if you have a talent that can earn you that kind of money, that needs to be capitalized on immediately. You're forcing them to go to classes and to learn things that they have no interest in. And then you're saying you're doing them a favor when they don't apply any of these things later on in life. Now, if you were forcing them into financial literacy classes where you're teaching them how to manage money and things of that sort, things that are going to help them in the next stage of life, things that even if they don't become professional athletes, they can still utilize, okay. But nonetheless, the options should still be there. The NCAA isn't even doing that. These universities aren't even doing that. I think it's highway robbery. And it's long overdue it's a system that's long overdue to be put to an end. You know, and it's not just the NCAA and these universities, honestly. I do look at professional athletes and wonder why it is that they're not doing enough to make the changes that are necessary to help these guys, because they were once in this position themselves. I mean, the NBA has a D League, but that can really flourish if they decided to. But because of the NCAA, they've decided not to kind of like put the full effort in and do everything that's possible to make the league flourish. That would be great to actually put the funds into it. You know, increase the salaries of players so then more good players would remain in the U.S. and play in these leagues instead of having to go overseas. They can learn how to be professionals. They can learn how hard it is to make the NBA, to see the difference between the levels in league talent-wise and work-wise and everything else. There's a lot of benefits to making that league more of a minor league system and just cutting out the NCAA altogether. It benefits the players, absolutely. I'm sure more so than the NCAA. But this tradition and this narrative of what they're providing and what they're giving you continues to live on for whatever reason. But me personally, I'm tired of it. And I hope that one day I get the opportunity to make a difference in changing that. But time will tell. But guys, I just wanted to rant on about that. I just saw the money that was made from Alabama, and I couldn't believe it. $100 million made by this university on the backs of these players. And then they have the nerve to make it seem like it's all about education. Give me a break. But nonetheless, we'll be back on the Michael Arthur Show on Be Terrific right after this break. You guys stay tuned. Welcome back to the Michael Arthur Show on Be Terrific. You guys can follow us on social media at BeTerrificTV. Join us on the Slack chat by sending a request to connect@BeTerrific.com. And you can find archives of the Be Terrific programming on BeTerrific.com. What's up, Digital Phil? Shout out to Digital Phil for checking me out. Hit me on the Slack chat. You know, Terrifics are great. They always check in on you, want to know how you're doing personally, just in your life and how things have been going. Appreciate these guys. Very genuine followers of the show, and we continue to do it for you guys. Have some hockey news out there for the hockey fans. The Blues fire Hitchcock. I think his name Yeo? Y-E-O? Yeo? Sorry, guys. I'm not a big hockey guy, so I'm not really too familiar with this, guys. But the Blues have fired Ken Hitchcock and Mike Yeo, who was hired in June as the coach in waiting takes over early. So to the Blues fans out there, that's what's going on with your team. There's been a firing and a hiring, I guess. A change of the guard, so to speak. Outside of that, I want to see what's going on. I'm looking for the trending topics, you know, just to kind of go through that and see what's trending. We already know Beyonce's having twins. Yay, hip, hip, hooray. We're all happy about that, right? Or not. Or we don't care. At least, I mean, like I said before, congratulations to her. But there's other things that's going on that you know, I probably would focus on other than someone else having a baby. But congratulations to her again. Chevrolet has a mid-engine Corvette that they've been putting together. Looks pretty cool. Looks nice. But the car I really want a Tesla. Every time I see one, man, my eyes just get bigger. I've been wanting that car for a while. And, like, every time I see it, I just want it more and more. We'll see how soon that happens. My Nissan is getting pretty beat up. I'm getting tired of it. Think it's been through enough, and I'm ready to kind of move on. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get a Tesla this year. You know, anything's possible. I'll keep working hard, and hopefully we can make that happen. But that's definitely the car that I have in mind. I would love to have a Tesla. To my people in Pittsburgh, there's a water advisory that's going on. They're saying that the water should has issued a flush and boil water advisory for many Pittsburgh neighborhoods. Over 100,000 customers are being affected. So I guess you guys should kind of check in on your news and see that if it affects your town or the city that you're in. I mean, it affects your town at all. If so, definitely do take the necessary steps to keep yourself safe. We all know how important water is, of course. The people from Flint, Michigan can attest to that. So make sure you're doing everything possible to make sure that the water that you're consuming is safe to our Pittsburgh Terrifics. A lot of support for the press recently from celebrities and just from social media in general, I guess due to President Donald Trump and the national media's like ongoing clash, and a lot of people are voicing support or showing support for the media. We all know how important the media is. They're the people that provide the news and keep us informed. Different sources, of course, of media nowadays, and it's changed a lot since the days of Edward Murrow and those times. It's become more entertainment and money incentivized, but nonetheless they do provide information, and they are an important part of our democracy. I would like to see personally changes made to how things are reported, and I'd like to see things kind of go back to the way they were before a little bit, where it was more facts based and less personal opinions. And more professional, and just kind of like, and less, I just said, less opinionated, where people kind of leave all of that out and just provide the facts and just kind of give us news that actually matters, that actually pertains to our daily lives and makes a difference for us, you know. Not that Beyonce's pregnant with twins. No offense, Beyonce. But, you know, I just think that, We've kind of like taken the steps back when that's the headline news, as opposed to, the new Supreme Court justice nominee, or, you know, all the other things that are important that matters to us in this world. You know? What else is going on? Oh, see. You know who Harry Styles is dating? You know, I mean, these things aren't really, this isn't, you know, what's important. Conor McGregor. Man, Conor McGregor is just trying to get everywhere. Next thing, now it's WrestleMania. Before it was Mayweather and possibly getting to a fight with Mayweather, which honestly would just be, I mean, from the standpoint of people who actually enjoy the sport of boxing, It would be a no contest. Conor McGregor does not stand a chance against Floyd Mayweather. We're talking about a professional boxer, not just any professional boxer, probably the best defensive boxer certainly of my generation and possibly of all time. One of the great boxers of all time, a guy who's undefeated in his career. Regardless of how long he's been retired, he's been out the game for, I think, about 2 years now. Doesn't even matter. Conor McGregor does not stand a chance. He would be absolutely demolished, annihilated. For him, it's strictly about a payday, and he's willing to get his face bashed in for a handsome paycheck. And he may get that opportunity as long as interest continues to generate to see that fight. But for the actual love of the sport and for the actual fight, it would really be a no contest. Really would. And I think Conor is really looking for a paycheck with his interest in WrestleMania now. What else is going on? Yeah, that's about it. That's what's going on. We're getting closer and closer to the end of the show here, ladies and gents. And we have a new, of course, I mentioned a little bit earlier, we have a Supreme Court nominee in Neil Gorsuch. Have to learn more about him, read more about him, see what his stances are on things. Obviously, that's important to everyone here in America, who the Supreme Court justice is, what they're about and everything else. I encourage everybody to learn more about who this guy is, see what he's about, and see if there's something that you support, you know. I think we should all stay informed. That's an important part of everything, is being informed and keeping yourself educated in the know. And not always depending on sources of information, but doing your own research and investigation and stuff. Because obviously, you know, things can be biased and skewed towards what people want you to, how people want to sway you, I should say. Yeah, guys, I mean, but that's what's going on. And I think we're going to go ahead, take another break, and then we'll come back, and I'll give you guys, you know, a positive quote that you can take with you throughout the day. That'll be that, and we'll be back, of course, again tomorrow, but not before I go ahead and give you guys that positive quote. So you stay tuned, and we'll be back after this short break on Be Terrific.
And we have to set it up and then be able to move it and have a great stable platform, one that's easily transportable and folds nicely. Well, we found one in Innovative Carts. We love our Innovative Carts. We use the Echo. There's the 36 and the 48. And of course, they have other carts that are just amazing. And they're not just for video production or filmmaking, but they're great for that. They come with a slew of different options, including a roll top so you can type on them. And you also have cable pass-throughs. We've got locking draws, these really amazing wheels, handles, and the thing folds up really great. In addition to that, there's a monitor mount you can get for it, so you can mount your monitor off of it so it won't take up room on the top. There are also shelves available. We love our Innovative Cart. We find it to be the best thing we've ever gotten. It saves our back, and it's great for a home base on set or during our live productions. It's really, really tremendous. You've got to check out Innovative Carts. Now, it's not only great for video production and media and live programming, it's also great for the medical field and for all sorts of other industries as well. Check out Innovative Carts. They're truly amazing. There is no cart out there that's better than Innovative Carts. That's innovative with one I and no E. Check them out, innovativecarts.com. And tell Pat, my friend, that Be Terrific sent you.
Today I brought my best friend, Love and Learn.
Hello, let's play.
Wow. Love and Learn talks and plays games. Press his paw and he tells stories.
Follow Little Red Riding Hood into the forest.
He even controls my tablet with his paws when we play games.
That's it.
Play the message from Mom.
Oh yeah.
Good job, Johnny.
Can I play with Love and Learn?
He's so soft.
Yeah.
Love and Learn talks and plays games. Batteries sold separately.
When we think of food trucks, breakfast is the last thing that's on our mind. Everywhere except the steel cart. This is Brooklyn's hottest food truck, and they're serving breakfast all day. Here, the egg toast takes center stage where it usually sells out before mid-morning.
Jenny, your food is so amazing. What's your secret?
Lots of love and passion.
That's what my grandma had when she was younger, Jess, and you can tell it in your food. So how did you get the idea of the food truck as opposed to a restaurant?
Well, as I was a private chef prior, and I loved the family, but I just wanted to have my own business. I'm not the only one who's a part of this. We also have Brian and Luke, who's all a part of the steel cart. And so all three of us, we kind of mustered up together.
How did you come up with the menu?
The menu was basically an idea that we kind of all had together, combining foods that we ourselves want to eat. The croque madame style, like what we call the egg toasty, is something you can't really eat a croque madame while you walk in New York City. So we kind of made it into a sandwich. and so that it's easier to carry and go.
So one foodie to another, I'm glad you're not a private chef again.
It's easy to see why the steel cart is a steal under the Manhattan Bridge.
My favorite two devices are my iPhone and iPad. I really love them. And I really want to ditch the laptop so that I can just use the iPhone and iPad on the road. Well, if I do that, that means that I have to be able to bring my Be Terrific content with me. And I'm so excited to announce that now you can. We teamed up with Komo, COMO.com. You can go build your own app there to build our app. And we've got an amazing app. Not only is it in the Apple iTunes store, it's also in the Android store and the Amazon Kindle store. And you can get your app just by going to beterrific.com/app. It's free and it's fun. You can interact with us and engage with us. You can follow us socially and you can watch all our content on the go, including our live stuff. And there's a whole lot more features here, including getting in touch with us. Go to beterrific.com/app. Pick which device you have, and it'll take you to the right store. You'll be able to download this app free and take us on the go. Have fun with it and do it now. And by the way, there's an events page so you can find out about all our coverage and events that are coming up. I'm Michael Artsis. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks so much for supporting us, and continue to enjoy our amazing content.
Guys, welcome back. We're at that point in time. We've hit our limit. We're at the end of the show, and I just wanted to give you guys my positive words, my positive quote that you can carry on with you through today, and just use it for any time where you run into any hardship or anytime you need a little bit of inspiration. You know, positive news, that's what we do. We're all positive here at Be Terrific. But my quote of today is, beautiful things happen when you distance yourself from negativity. So you guys stay positive, and of course, without a doubt, stay terrific.